Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory. O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign one God forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Todd Schmelzer notes that it took the church several centuries to decide about Trinitarian orthodoxy. The result produced the Nicene Creed that many churches, like us, say together most Sunday mornings. However, most preachers would prefer to preach on any other subject than the Holy Trinity. Perhaps they heed the example of Brother Eldrick, a 12th century monk, who after badly botching a sermon on the Holy Trinity, took a vow of silence for the rest of his life. The doctrine of the Trinity is not as difficult to understand as we might imagine, however. God has revealed himself in Holy Scripture as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The church's reflection on what God has revealed about himself resulted in the doctrine. And even though God has revealed himself through the pages of the Bible as the great three in one and one in three, you will never, ever, ever find the word Trinity in God's word. But a couple hundred bishops came together at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD to deal with this question: what does the church believe about the Lord God Almighty? And what came out of that church council resulted in the doctrine we are talking about this morning. For today, we celebrate the Feast of the Trinity. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, the church calendar took a long time to build and develop. And it's fascinating reading about the development of this liturgical calendar. At first, Christians celebrated Easter. And to prepare for Easter, they backtracked 40 days. And they focused on repentance and fasting and preparing to journey to the cross with the season of Lent. And then over time, other seasons like Advent and Christmas were added on. And last week, we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. But today is Trinity Sunday. And this brings us to the importance of a little known hymn by Kate Hankey. So listen up. Advent tells us Christ is near. Christmas tells us Christ is here. In Epiphany, we trace all the glory of his grace. Those three Sundays before Lent will prepare us to repent, that in Lent we may begin earnestly to mourn for sin. Holy Week and Easter, then, tell who died and rose again. Oh, that happy Easter day, Christ is risen indeed, we say. Yes, and Christ ascended too, to prepare a place for you. So we give him special praise after these great 40 days. Then he sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost with us ever to abide. Well, may we keep Whitsuntide. Last of all, we humbly sing, glory to our God and King. Glory to the one in three on the Feast of Trinity, which is today. Today we are going to look at the fellowship, the community, and the family of the Holy Trinity. We are going to see the saving works of God and how we are taken up into the dance of life and love, the dance of the Holy Trinity. You know, Christians do not worship three gods. We worship the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, God in himself is a fellowship. This is why God is love. Love goes outward toward another.
Yes.
In fact, C.S. Lewis says that the love between the Father and the Son is another person. It's the Holy Spirit. And this was not an original idea. He's borrowing this. He's paraphrasing this from St. Augustine. So God within himself is a fellowship, a community, and a family of love. And it's a dance. It's a dance. Mike Wilkins shares that the early church leaders described the Trinity as an eternal dance of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit sharing mutual love, honor, happiness, joy, and respect. When God creates everything, Wilkins comments that God is inviting more and more beings into the eternal dance of joy. And we see all three persons of the Godhead involved in creation in Genesis. In Genesis 1, Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God, he created. What did he create? Everything. Heaven and earth. Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God was hovering over the faces of the waters. And get this. Genesis 1:3, 1:6, 1:9, 1:11, 1:14, 1:20, 1:24, and 1:26 are the eight divine commands spoken by the Word of God. The second person of the Trinity. How do we know this? Because the New Testament tells us so. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16. For by him, that is Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So all three persons of the Godhead are active in Genesis 1. And it's amazing. And I remember taking a Jewish woman through this text last June when I was in Jerusalem. And she was completely out of her element, man. She couldn't even approach the biblical text because of the commentary and the doctrines that the rabbis put around the scriptures. We couldn't even get to the text. Because Rabbi so-and-so said this, and Rabbi so-and-so said this. I'm like, great. I'm not a rabbi. I'm just looking at the text. But this leads us to another fascinating piece of scripture that this very day Jewish people pray and recite, and that is the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. How interesting, don't you think? The Lord our God is one? People pray this all the time, and yet as Christians, we know that the Lord is the great one in three and the great three in one. Amen?
Amen.
He is the great and blessed Holy Trinity. He is one fellowship and community. He is one family. Indeed, he is one precisely as the Shema says he is. But because God is love, there must be a plurality of persons. Richard Lethem comments, love by definition is directed toward another. Therefore, love cannot exist where there is not a plurality of persons. Richard of St. Victor notes, the idea of the sharing of love can only be sustained if there are three persons within the Godhead, where a fellowship of association can only occur when there is more than one partner to share in the riches of God. So yes, the Lord is one, but he's also three. And we see throughout Scripture the love of the Trinity in human history. For humanity decided to take on another dance when sin and death entered into the sacred story. It was in love that God promised the Messiah in Genesis 3:15. It was in love that God saved Noah and his family from the flood. It was in love that God called Abraham and promised him the world. It was in love that God raised up Moses to be a deliverer to the Hebrews. It was in love that God gave the law at Mount Sinai. It was in love that God gave the land of promise. It was in love that God promised David that one of his descendants would rule forever. It was in love that God's people were disciplined and led into exile. And it was in love that God brought some of them back into the promised land. But most of all, it was love. And that God sent his one and only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary to save a wayward humanity.
Amen.
A humanity dancing to the beat of their own drummer. And not to the rhythm of the cosmic Trinity. And when we think on the love of the Trinity, we often do not dwell on the suffering of God. Bruce Thielman recalls that in the National Gallery of Art in London, there's a painting of the crucifixion that is so dark that when you first look at it, you can't see a thing. But if you stand there long enough and you ponder it, and if you don't permit your gaze to wander, eventually you see in the darkness a very dim figure of the crucified Messiah. And if you look longer still, not allowing your attention to be diverted, you will begin to see a figure behind Jesus. The presence of God the Father, whose hands are holding up his Son. And on his face, unimaginable grief. What does the suffering of God reveal? Perfect, perfect, perfect love. The long-suffering love of God for us. And that is an invitation to join in the dance of the Trinity. The dance of life and love. And the invitation to the dance is about a personal, relational knowledge of God. Not book smarts. Not book knowledge. A personal, relational knowledge. I've met a lot of people in my life that know this stuff. But if you look at how they live, it's clearly evident they don't have the personal, relational knowledge. My friends, the Father sends the Son. And what does the Son do? He reveals the Father to us. Happy Father's Day. In his sixth I Am statement in John's Gospel, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And elsewhere, he says, if you have seen me, you've seen my dad. If you've seen me, you've seen my dad. My New Testament professor, Rod Whitaker, comments, throughout the Gospel of John, we hear of Jesus' coming from the Father, revealing God, bringing new life, and then returning to the Father. But now the focus is on Jesus' role as the one who leads people to the Father. The Father is seen as distant. One must undertake a journey to reach him. And guess who leads the way? It's Jesus. He reveals and leads you and me to the Father. And the way, the truth, and the life only come through the cross. But what of the Holy Spirit? How does he help us with the dance? The Holy Spirit assists the believer in abiding in God. It is because of this that believers have the assurance that God dwells in them and that they dwell in. Exactly. St. Augustine affirms this when he writes, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us the Holy Spirit, his Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who causes the believer to abide in God and God in the believer. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this. Union. I'm talking about the dance, baby. In Jesus' farewell discourse, in John's Gospel, love is linked with living in obedience to the commandments of Jesus. You see, Jesus promises that whoever keeps his commandments will have both the Father and himself dwell within the believer. In other words, God will make his home in us. Yes. And you and me.
Yes.
It is no surprise then that within this passage, Jesus promises both the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Godhead and the life of his followers. And St. Augustine calls this indwelling the effect of love. The effect of love. And adds that it is only possible because of the Holy Spirit. And this reminds us of what St. Paul says in Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I'll say that again because it's wonderful. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God has then come to abide in us, and therefore we reciprocate love back to the Holy Trinity. And thus we enter into the dance of life and love. We live because of the saving works of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For we love because God first loved us. Amen. But because the love of God has been poured into our hearts, we also love our neighbors. One cannot love God if one does not love one's neighbor. As Christ followers, we are to love our neighbors because Jesus came into the world and he died for sinners. The Spirit points to the saving work accomplished by Jesus and results with believers sharing the love of Jesus in the world. How many of you have ever been the recipient of some amazing news? Some just astounding news.
News.
News, promotion, diagnosis that went the positive way? News. What did you do with that? Did you just hold on to it?
No.
No, you did not. No, you did not just hold on to the news. Right? You told someone, at least if it was one person, you told someone. Well, I saw my wife this week share the love of Jesus with a Jewish man. As I watched her, I saw the joy of the Holy Spirit come on her face as she talked about Yeshua, the Messiah, to this man. And it was because of the love that she has for Jesus that compelled her to share him. And that should be the case with all of us. There is nothing more loving you can do for your neighbor than share Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, with them. So are you holding on to this news? Surely there's someone you can tell about it. The good news of the gospel is this: God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to become one of us, to live a perfect life for us, to die a perfect death for us, for the remission of our sins, and on the third day, rose again.
Amen.
It is both a call to repentance, a turn from death to life, and believe the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus the Messiah. And the Spirit reveals Jesus to the world. For as Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. You see, my friends, Christ Jesus lives in you and me by the Spirit. We have union with Jesus now by faith. He is in us and we are in him. And Christ is hidden in God. This is the dance of life and love. And now the sending God sends you and me as well. We are commissioned and sent out into the world to participate with the missionary spirit and call others into this dance of life and love. But how do we do this as a pilgrim missionary people? Well, for starters, we don't do it alone. We do not do it alone. We're not a bunch of lone rangers, even though we live in Texas. We do it with God's help and in God's power. You see, apart from the Lord, we can't do jack squat.
Amen.
Maybe you've experienced this and learned this like I have, the hard way. Without the Lord, you cannot do anything of significance. So let's make sure we are firmly rooted and established in the gospel of grace. For false gospels have gone out into the world, and they attempt to deceive even the elect. Therefore, we must be anchored to the Lord Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews exhorts us all to be, as we call people into the dance of life and love. Yes, the Lord is our helper as we partner with the missionary spirit to call people into the dance, but we also must receive the help and the assistance of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. You see, God has knit the body of Christ together in such a way that we need each other, that I need you and you need me. In other words, within the community, the family, and the fellowship that is the local church, we need to be united in mission and ministry and realize that every member's uniqueness contributes to God's mission. You have a part to play, and you have good news to share. Amen?
Amen?
It shouldn't just be a couple of people in church saying to those out in the world, would you like to dance? It shouldn't just be a couple of people in each local church. It should be all of us. Would you like to dance? It's not that hard. It should be all of us together, respectively. So let's ask the Lord to open our eyes on how we, as the body of Christ, can do this. For there are people that God has strategically placed in each of your lives, in each of your lives, that need to be asked to dance. As the Anglican biblical scholar and theologian J.I. Packer put it, the Trinity is the basis of the gospel, and the gospel is a declaration of the Trinity in action. Sharing the gospel, then, The saving works of the Holy Trinity should not be something we shrink away from, my brothers and sisters. We shouldn't be terrified of it. It's good news, man.
Yes.
It should be the most joyous thing for us to share at all. Let me tell you about Jesus.
Yes.
And not to be confrontational, but to be joyful about. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you how I was and how I am now. That thank God he is transforming me day by day. That's good news, I think.
Yes.
That should be shared. So we should not be shrinking away from this good news. We should be joyfully sharing it. For since we now dance to God's rhythm, we are compelled by his love and the new life that we already have to call others to dance. To say, repent and believe the good news. For we once danced to the beat of our own drummer. But now we dance to the rhythm of God. To the dance of the Holy Trinity, this dance of life and love. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we prepare to come to your table to receive Holy Communion, may we worship you with lips and lives proclaiming your majesty and finally see you in your eternal glory. Holy and eternal Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen.